I'm Dave Heller, and this is NewsWorks Tonight. Ahead this evening, Philadelphia comedy troupe 1812 Productions offers some parting advice for outgoing Pennsylvania Governor Tom Corbett. First up, the significance of Corbett's loss to Tom Wolf this week is amplified by an otherwise strong GOP showing in elections nationwide. Joining me now on Reporters Roundtable to discuss the factors that contributed to Governor Corbett's historic defeat is WHYY senior reporter Dave Davies. Dave, I know you've been pouring through the numbers. Where should we start?
Let's talk about Philadelphia. You know, was Philadelphia critical to Tom Wolf's victory on Tuesday? And the answer, in a word, Dave, is no. Wolf got a big margin from Philadelphia because it's such a heavily Democratic city. But there was an expectation that because of the anger over education cuts, Philadelphia would turn out big. In fact, Philadelphians cast about 44,000 fewer votes in this election, Dave, than were cast 4 years ago when Dan Onorato was on the ballot. So we just didn't see a big, robust turnout from Philadelphia. In fact, Tom Wolf would have won this election without a single vote from Philadelphia. If you take the cumulative total of the other 66 counties, Tom Wolf comes out ahead. This is kind of interesting because there was a little bit of a political battle. A lot of Democrats wanted Wolf to give what is called street money. That's payments to Philadelphia ward leaders to make sure they would beat the streets and turn out the votes. Wolf declined to do that, and there was some grumbling. But the fact is, he won without Philadelphia's votes.
Moving out from that ground zero, did the four collar counties make a difference?
Yeah, Wolf did win the suburban counties around Philadelphia. And if you take southeastern Pennsylvania as a whole, Philadelphia and those four suburban counties, Wolf did need that big margin. But the interesting thing was that Philadelphia itself didn't play a big role.
To what extent was the Joe Paterno factor a variable as we go to the center of the state?
You know, it's hard to tell exactly, but you can certainly tell a difference. If you compare Corbett's totals 4 years ago, Center County, where Penn State is located, Corbett won that county by 4,000 votes 4 years ago, lost it by 6,000. This time, Clinton County, just north of that, Corbett won it by 1,600 votes, lost by about the same margin this time. So clearly there was a big drop-off. There is some polling to suggest that people had Penn State in mind. About 40% of voters said it was a factor in their decision. On the other hand, you know, education was a big issue everywhere, and there were statewide about 27,000 education jobs were eliminated over the past 4 years. So I think that probably had an impact, too.
Looking at the state overall, do you suspect it was more a repudiation of Corbett's first term or an embrace of Wolf's message?
I think most analysts would say there was a lot of Corbett fatigue. I mean, he made policy decisions early on, which proved to be unpopular, and he did not do a good job of selling them to the public. Wolf was an acceptable alternative.
Well, let's focus now on those policy positions pertaining to energy agenda, and with that, we'll turn to State Impact Pennsylvania's Susan Phillips. Susan, obviously, Wolf's agenda is much different than his predecessor when it comes to energy development, and specifically the Marcellus Shale.
It is and it isn't, Dave. I mean, in one respect, Wolf has said, look, you know, we're going to maintain the moratorium in the Delaware River Basin Commission, which is good news to the environmentalists, and we're going to maintain the current moratorium on new gas leases in state forests and state parks, which, again, is good news for environmentalists. They really love that. At the same time, though, Wolf obviously ran on raising money through a 5% severance tax on natural gas to plug the state budget deficit. He says that's going to bring in $1 billion at current production levels, but he has a pretty tough fight, not just with the Republican lawmakers in Harrisburg, but also with some environmentalists who say, wait a minute, we don't want the state to be dependent on this money by gas drilling. If you want to raise $1 billion, that means you're going to encourage drilling.
So with this new governor, we think he is somebody who's open to the science and the facts and to reality. And we're hoping that when he sits in that office, that he's going to take a look at that array of information and make the wise decision and the right decision, which is that we should be putting in place a moratorium against shale gas extraction and turning to sustainable energy.
So as you can see, Dave, there's some environmentalists that are going to fight that. On the other hand, the more sort of work within the system, middle of the road environmentalists, such as those from Penn Future, favor the shale gas tax. But also, there is a lot of hope that Wolf will be more open to what they have to say, will be more interested in looking at the science, will be less of a top-down sort of walled-off administration. I know with the reporters, it was really hard to get information from anyone except one person in the Corbett administration, which was the energy executive. And so they're hoping the Wolf administration will be different.
So what have you heard about the industry as they anticipate a Wolf administration?
The industry is still saying, look, you know, we can't afford a shale gas tax. 5% is too much. The price of gas is too low.
Though during the campaign, Wolf was contending that Pennsylvania wasn't getting its due from the industry relative to other states.
That's right. And that will definitely be a heated topic. And I'm sure we're going to hear a lot more of that in the future. But one thing we can count on right now is, you know, there's the pre-election debate and then there's the post-election reality. And at this point, Wolf is in charge. The industry is going to have to sit down with him and talk to him. The environmentalists are going to push their agenda on him. And it'll be interesting to see where Wolf comes out because there are environmentalists such as Maya Van Rossum, who we heard from the Delaware Riverkeeper, who will still be pushing for a moratorium. And Wolf is definitely not in favor of a moratorium. He's in favor of raising $1 billion through a tax on the gas industry. So it'll be interesting to see how Wolf straddles that fence between the different camps of the environmental movement on the one hand and also the gas industry on the other hand.
Thanks, Susan.
You're welcome.
WHYY State Impact Pennsylvania reporter Susan Phillips on Newsworks Tonight.